The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The sisters of Lazarus sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one whom you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death. It is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was, and then after this he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." And Martha replied, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." But Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." And Jesus answered and said, "He became perturbed and deeply troubled, and said, 'Where have you laid him?' And they said to him, 'Sir, come and see.' And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.' But some of them said, 'Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?' And so Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' But Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, 'Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days.' But Jesus said to her, 'Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?' And so they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me.' And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' And the dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, 'Untie him and let him go.' Now many of the Jews had come to Mary and had seen what he had done, and now they began to believe in him." The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel reading is taken from the 11th chapter of the book of John. We have been dealing with readings from the book of John for the last few weeks. We will leave that now, and on next Sunday we'll read the Passion from the Gospel of Matthew. We will return to John on Holy Thursday, John's long treatment of the Last Supper and the washing of the feet. So let me offer some homiletic remarks about this text of today's gospel. And I'll try to do it in three parts. One is an exegesis, which is an insight into understanding the Gospel of John. And the second is the teaching of this text, and then what it might mean to us, to me or to you, by way of a real life experience. So looking at the Gospel of John, it's a mystical gospel. It cannot be read in a literal sense. It has a deeper and more mystical meaning, and the raising of Lazarus from the dead is the last of seven signs. While they are miraculous events, John treats them as signs. They're pointing to something else. For instance, we have the first sign, which is in chapter 2 in the Gospel of John, the wedding feast at Cana, where Jesus turns water into wine. 6 stone water jars, each containing 15 to 25 gallons. Conservatively, we're talking about 120 gallons, if you're going to take that literally, but it's not meant to be taken literally. If you read on in John's Gospel, in chapter 3, you have Nicodemus, this leader of the Jewish people, and it says he comes to Jesus by night. Now, we might think that's after dark, but that's not what it really means. There's a deeper meaning. It means he is in darkness. So he comes to Jesus in some kind of crisis or darkness in his life. So when you read the Gospel of John, you're always searching for something deeper. The seven signs, and this being the greatest sign, rather curiously, even though it's the most powerful, miraculous event in the life of Jesus, it's mentioned only in the Gospel of John. Now, when we get to Holy Thursday, we will be reading from John's Gospel. And keep in mind, almost a third of the entire Gospel of John is the Last Supper. John is very, very long treatment of the Last Supper. John, as you know, has the washing of the feet, which does not appear in the other Gospels. And in John's Last Supper, there is no Eucharist. He does not take bread and take wine and say the words of Eucharist, not in the Gospel of John. So John is unique in many ways. Also, one interesting, curious feature about John, he never names the mother of Jesus. If we only had the Gospel of John, we would not know Mary by name. John refers to her as the mother of the Lord, the mother of Jesus, but never names her. That's a conversation at another time. But it's rather interesting that the other Gospels name Mary, but John does not. Let me talk a little bit about the Gospel reading today. It has to do, the basic theme of this Gospel, which touches us, is believing is seeing. If you believe, you will see. Jesus says this to Martha and to Mary, believe and you will see. I know the world says seeing is believing, but in the kingdom of God, if you believe, you will see wondrous things. So keep that in mind. That's a theme I would like to collect right through this reflection. Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. If you read on, this is chapter 11. Chapter 12, the last meal that Jesus has before he enters Jerusalem for the last days of his life, for the passion, death, and resurrection, the last meal is at the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. So clearly, this was home away from home for Jesus. It's very important not to miss the fact that Lazarus was dead for 4 days. There was a rabbinic belief at the time that after 3 days, the soul would leave. The body was becoming disfigured, the face wasn't recognizable, and the soul would leave. And therefore, when he's dead for 4 days, he's not just dead, he's very dead. I mean, in rabbinic belief, the soul is gone. It makes the miracle all the more powerful in the Gospel of John. So look at the signs here. Now let me give you one or two examples of believing and seeing. Now this event happened about 15 years ago. I think I might have used this story before in a homily here at Holy Family, but it fits here, so, and it's good teaching. And it has to do with these two very good friends of mine. They were in their 70s. They did not live around Holy Family. They lived over on the west side of Los Angeles. They were very devout Catholics, and they went to Mass every morning, the 8 o'clock Mass every morning at the parish. Joe was one of them, I'll call him Joe. They're both deceased now. When this story was alive, like 15 years ago, they were in their 70s. And Joe was the first one. And Joe was one of these very devout Catholics that not only is he going to save his own soul, he's going to save your soul also. I mean, he will question you and he will examine you and he'll wonder what's happening to you, and he wants to save your soul. So I call him Joe the Apostle. So Joe the Apostle is at the 8 o'clock Mass every morning. And then Bill, the other fellow in the story, he's also at the 8 o'clock Mass in the morning. But Joe notices that Bill does not receive communion. And so after a while, he confronts Bill and he said, "Bill, I see you at Mass every morning, but why don't you receive communion?" That's a very personal question. But Joe the Apostle, that was his style. So he said, "Why don't you receive communion?" And Bill said, "I have issues in my life." And he said, "Well, you have to go to see Monsignor Connolly." So Bill didn't say anything, but Joe came to me and he said, "Did Bill the sinner come to see you?" And I said, "I can't answer that. That's a very bad question to ask me. If he came, I wouldn't tell you. So don't ask me that question anymore." So he's back to Bill the sinner, and he says, "Bill, did you go to see Monsignor Connolly yet?" And he so imposed himself on Bill that eventually Bill came to see me here at Holy Family. Bill sat in my office here at the Pastoral Center, and tears coming down his eyes. He said, "I'm lost. My life is chaotic. My soul is dying. I need God in my life. But I have a problem. I have a woman in my life. We've been together a long time, and I can't go to communion. I've tried," he said, "to separate this relationship, and I have failed. And I don't know what to do." So I said, "Bill, kneel down, make a confession of your life." And Bill knelt down, and he confessed all the story of his life with tears. And then he sat down, gave him absolution. "Now, here's what I want you to do, Bill. You are trying to do something very important in your life, very challenging in your life, but you're not letting Jesus Christ into your life. You can't do this by yourself. You need the power of Jesus Christ in your life. You need the Eucharist to strengthen you, to give you power, to give you strength that this world cannot give you. You need the grace that comes to you from embracing Jesus Christ. So what am I going to do? You go to Mass tomorrow morning at the 8 o'clock. You've made your confession. You go to communion tomorrow morning. What am I going to do with a woman? I don't care about the woman. Let Jesus Christ lead you. See what the Lord says to you. whether you have to reframe or this relationship or whether you have to terminate it over a period of time, but be very cautious, Bill. Be gentle. You have mortgaged this woman into a relationship with you, and you should not be violent. Be understanding, be patient, and let the Lord lead you. Why can I really do that? Yes, I want you to do that. You go to Mass in the morning. Let Jesus Christ lead you. Get the power of Jesus Christ into your life. Okay, whoa, he floated out of my office. He's so excited. He's at Mass the next morning, and he goes to communion. Now, Joe the Apostle, I suppose, sees him going to communion. I never heard that, but I didn't see him for about 3 months, and I ran into him casually. 3 months later, he said, "Monsignor, ever since our talk, I have changed my life. My whole life has changed. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior." I didn't ask about the woman. It's not my business. Here's a man who was reborn. His soul was dying. He was in the tomb for 4 days. And Jesus Christ called him into new life. Keep this in mind now. Look back over your life. Recover a memory of darkness and struggle in your life. A time when all you had left was the power of Jesus Christ. Some great failure, great setback in your life. Something that wounded you deeply, where you were discouraged. Maybe you were overwhelmed and you turned to the Lord. It's all you had. I can remember that in my own journey. In 2002, about 18 years ago, I went through a period of extended period of great, great darkness in my life. At that time, the clerical abuse thing was just emerging. It was in the press every day. I was overwhelmed by it. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. I was discouraged, questioning the church, questioning the priesthood, questioning myself. And when you're in darkness, the demons come, of course, and all the demons of my past, every failure, every sin came back. And I was in darkness over a long time. It's not something you can explain to people. This is a conversation with the Lord. And I turned to prayer. And I discovered that Jesus Christ is truly my Lord and Savior. The Lord lifted me up. And the Lord carried me. And I emerged closer to Jesus Christ and more enlightened. So that from here on, perhaps, I might now understand in a deeper and more profound way the crisis that invades people's lives. The times of discouragement or darkness, the times of conflict, the times when people think there is no church for them, when they're so deep in sin that there is no place for them, when they don't think exactly like the church, they're to be excluded. Wow. And this is where you truly meet Jesus Christ in truth. And this is where believing is seeing. Now, I believed, and the Lord came to me, and I prayed. I prayed the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me to green pastures. When I walk through the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Only goodness and kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. And the psalm came alive. And something that I had spoken for many, many years, all of a sudden, I began to know who the shepherd was. And the story, which is told in variations, but the substance of the story is that on one occasion, an actor gathered a group of people at a country mansion to read some readings from English literature from Shakespeare and Wordsworth. And he was a powerful speaker, erudite, clear, convincing, insightful. And when he finished his readings, the people all stood up and they applauded. He was so incredible. And then an old priest in the audience stood up and said, "Sir, would you read for us the 23rd Psalm, 'The Lord is my shepherd'?" And the actor said, "Father, I'll do it on one condition, that after I have read it, you will come up here and you will read it." So he read the 23rd Psalm with such depth and such meaning. The people were transfixed. And when he finished, the people stood up and applauded. And then in a faltering way, the elderly priest went to the podium and he read the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd." And nobody applauded. That happens sometimes. Nobody applauded. And then the actor, he went back to the podium and he said, "My friends, I know the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd." And then pointing to the old priest, he said, "But he knows the shepherd." I got to know the shepherd. The kind of shepherd you can meet only in a time of darkness or struggle or anxiety, where you're uncertain of the future and you question yourself. And then the power of Jesus Christ comes into your life. You believe and you see. In closing, I'd like to invoke the beautiful words of Mary Louise Haskins, Minnie Louise Haskins, in her poem, "The Gate of the Year." "And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may enter into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness. Put your hand in the hand of God, and that will be better for you than light or the known way.' And I went forth, and I found the hand of God, and he led me through the night. I trod gladly into the night, and he led me toward the hills and the dawning of a new day in the lone east." That's it. Put your hand in the hand of the Lord. Believe and you will see. Amen. Since we are live streaming these masses these days, If you have any suggestions, perhaps the homilies are too long, they're too short, perhaps the homilies should have a variation, perhaps you have a theme that would like to be included, by all means, send me an email, contact me, enlighten me, advise me. So keep that in mind. I think Dawn is going to put up my email here, so by all means, if you have questions or you have advice, I will bless you and thank you. Amen.